It's time to spill
the tea.
Hello.
You there, and welcome to A Spoonful of Theatre.
And a Spill the Tea episode, which is a theatre review episode where we have watched a local theatre production and giving you our first thoughts straight out of theatre. So, where are we, Sam?
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are currently outside We are outside the Victoria Theatre, and what have we just seen, TJ?
We just saw Dear Evan Hansen. Yes, the famous musical has made it to Singapore's shores, produced locally by Pandemonium Theatre Company.
Now then, the whole point of this episode is that we give our unfiltered and immediate review straight out of the auditorium. But there's a special caveat with this one, isn't there, TJ?
There is, and I think we have to be fully transparent to our audience before we start. So just a little notice. I was the very proud vocal coach of this show, so I am not totally unbiased towards the show, of course. however, I'm going into this with a little bit of backstage gossip, I suppose. So stay tuned, and maybe we can have a few kind of behind-the-scenes moments that I can introduce you to. But obviously, I think it's a bit unfair if I do a review, so to speak, because I've been very closely linked to the production.
No, fair enough.
However, you have been nowhere near it, apart from coming for a drink with me every now and again and listening to some tea. So you are truly unbiased. So we're going to start with your first thoughts, because I've been in the weekend. I've seen this 4 times in 2 days. So Sam, it's your first time watching Dear Evan Hansen as well, right?
Ever.
Yeah, you've only
ever.
What's your background to the show before we start?
My background to this is I know of the show's popularity from open mic.
Yes.
We've been doing open mic now for 7 years, and you can guarantee that at least one song will be sung from Dear Evan Hansen.
At least every week.
every month, there'll be a Waving Through the Window or. You will be found or something like that. So because of that, I know the show's popularity. But this was my first time ever seeing it. I knew nothing of the story. And so this was my first time ever seeing it.
Okay, so first time ever seeing it. Just walked out of the theatre. Sam, what are your first thoughts?
It's a slow boil, isn't it? And what I mean by that is that I enjoy a lot big epic musicals, jukebox musicals, your Wickeds, your Les Mises, your Miss Saigons, your Anne Juliet. This one is a lot more subtle. It's a lot more nuanced, a lot more emotional, certainly. And so it's a bit of a slow boil. It peaks and troughs throughout the entire show, and I absolutely recognise now the importance of this show in terms of discussing mental health, of young people. Now, you and I as teachers, myself especially being a teacher of teenagers, sees the importance of mental health in that regard, and also accountability as well. I thought that was very important. So I absolutely recognise the importance that this show has in the space, in the theatre space, in the very deep and heavy topic that it challenges. Because of that, I wanted to love it. I unfortunately didn't love it, because it doesn't suit my usual fare of musical.
Yep.
But I can appreciate why a lot of people do love it. So I liked it, I didn't love it, but I can absolutely appreciate its importance.
And do you know what? I think that's an absolute fair point, because I think the reason we do this podcast is you are general public, we always say this in the nicest way without putting without any negativity. Like, you come at this from, you know, no, like, general musical theatre experience. You've got a love for musicals from growing up with them and, you know, Judy Garland and all those classics. And I come from it from a musical theatre nerd who spent his entire life studying them to the nth degree and, you know, working in musical theatre for the last however many years. So for me, there's a lot about this musical that I agree that the themes are super important and it is heavy, and it sits in a space over the last few years. You know, a lot of the musicals that came out of Broadway over the last kind of 10, 15 years, I've kind of gotten down this track in terms of like their style of how they blend scenes and songs, and their very real nature. You know, it's very different looking at a show like this, not your big classic kind of like, you know, Follies and, you know, the Miss Saigons and the dramatic, the Les Mises. You know, those ones are much more grand. This is putting musicals into the real world.
Yes.
Which
yes,
is a little bit harder. And I think it depends on your style as to whether you as a musical theatre fan relate to that or not. Because because they're two very different things.
They are.
And
I
think what's an interesting thing here is you don't necessarily have to like every type of musical.
No.
For me, I geek out on this so much, and working on the show, like the detail that, you know, the entire cast and crew have gone into to put the show up is, I tell you, insane. We've had such detailed conversations just about how the music informs the words, and the words inform the characterizations, and how that informs the wider story. So there's lots of detail, but it's not your traditional musical, and I'm going to tell you a little tea here. So I watched the show this afternoon, and I was walking out, and there was an old auntie behind me, and obviously, you know, when you're walking out, they don't know that you worked on the show, so people are just gossiping as they want. And this auntie was behind me, and she said, "There wasn't one song that they didn't talk in," and do you know, I think that's kind of a similar thing as to what you're feeling, because, you know, the older shows are very much when there's a song, there's a song, you know, and she said there was no tune. I utterly disagree that there's no tune. There is absolutely beautiful melodies and tunes. However, I see the wider point that, you know, is this the modern style of show, it blends realities. And this show, I think I was talking with UC and the amazing set designer, and I think there's 43 locations, 43 different settings throughout the entire two acts. So you can imagine as a designer, how do you get from space to space 43 times within 2 hours, which is why the show is so, you know, it swoops in and out, and it's almost cinematic.
I agree with that. It's very cinematic
in its style, which can make it bitty, but it can also make it very dynamic. And I think, you know, you could fall tomato on those as to which way you fall. So I do absolutely see both sides. And it is a, you know, I think it's a good example of how musicals don't all have, you know, not every musical is a happy musical.
No, that's very true. I mean, you only need to think of your Les Mis and your Miss Saigon in that regard. Mm-hmm. And Dear Evan Hansen definitely falls within that, is that it's not a happy musical.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not jolly and grand, as you say. And I completely agree, the bringing reality onto stage, which is not an easy thing to do. I think
no, absolutely not.
In a play setting, yes, I imagine that's a lot easier. In a musical, I only you can answer this. I imagine that to be a lot more difficult.
It's what a lot of the more modern musicals are focused on, and, you know, it's that blending of story and music. We've worked on this as the vocal coach, the kind of the behind the scenes here. We spend a lot of time making sure that the voice in song is closer to the voice in speaking, because you can't be in the middle of a scene talking, then singing in a very different voice. It would sound very jarring, which is sometimes, if you do like that bigger, more traditional style of singing, it just can't be done in a modern musical. It would sound too odd, when you've got scenes in between.
If I may interrupt, if that's the case, then what the auntie said earlier this afternoon, then you've been successful.
Exactly.
If she's saying that, then you've obviously been successful.
You. I did my job, thanks. amazing. I want to take us on to another point, actually. I don't know how you feel. I've had this conversation over the years about telling stories about teenagers can be a difficult thing for adults to watch back, because sometimes I feel, especially modern teenagers, how many times do we talk about the Gen Zs and their problems, and sitting through a Gen Z problem for 3 hours can be tricky if it's not done well. I've seen a lot of things, like a lot of shows where, you know, there's other musicals I can name, and I won't right now because we'll get haters already, and it's too early in this podcast. But where Gen Z stories are just not necessarily interesting to older people. However, for me, I do think this story is relatable. It's more than a Gen Z story. It's relatable. These feelings and these thoughts and these family dynamics have been put together in a way that is accessible for everyone. And it's not just this Gen Z story. But that's my opinion. And I want to see you for the first time. How did you feel about that?
No, I must admit, honestly speaking, I felt there was a little bit for everybody. Mm. I've forgotten the name of the character, Evan's mum. Played by Rebecca, who did it phenomenally. So there's the single parent aspect. And then I think to myself, because my mum was a single parent because she was a widow. Mm-hmm. So I related to that aspect. Yeah. Then there was Connor's parents, the rich parents, but also the conflicting styles of parenting that has obviously affected Connor. Mm-hmm. There was a moment, and I'm sorry to say this, audience, but I'm going to tell you the truth. It's the only part of the play that made me well up was when the father broke down. Mm-hmm. That was the only time I welled up. Mm-hmm. And that's because of me, because I grew up without my father. And so there was a moment there for me there. And then I think of Evan. I was a bit of a loner at school. Mm-hmm. I was a misfit. Mm-hmm. So there's... I would like to think there are moments of memory and nostalgia in different areas within the different story, within the different elements of the storyline.
Yeah.
I can see your point that perhaps it is a little bit more difficult for an older generation to completely relate. Mm-hmm. I mean, millennials may struggle to understand the Gen Z storyline because the Gen Z's problem, because Gen Z are digital natives. Mm-hmm. Millennials are not digital natives. We've kind of gone with the flow in that respect. But then that's the same of the boomers and the Gen X's before us.
Of course,
that had no internet. Mm-hmm. I think of my siblings who are 15 to 20 years older than I am. They think I'm a spoiled brat because I've had the internet and all this kind of thing. So I think that kind of intergenerational appreciation, it's possible, but not always.
Yeah.
You have to be open to it, I would say. You have to be open to it.
But like I say, I think for me, this story, there's something in it for everybody. You know, you can take something away from it in terms of, you know, you don't have to necessarily be aligned with Evan's particular story. Mm. You might relate to the mother, or you might relate, might relate to the friends. So I think there is something there for everyone. Mm. And I think before we finish, I think we must acknowledge and kind of just talk about the production itself, in terms of the costumes, creative, the production aspects. Just some, again, behind the scenes tea here. This is the first time this production has been allowed to be changed from the original staging ever in the world.
Right.
Pandemonium got the rights to do a non-replica show, which is very rare. So I think kudos to Pandemonium for getting the reputation and the relationships to be given the opportunity to completely redesign it.
Yes.
So what you saw on stage tonight with the set and the costumes and the lighting, the first time the producers and the writers have let somebody just go, do what you like.
What? Wow.
So all of those designs are brand new, and I thought there was a lot about those designs that was really absolutely lovely, and there's been such hard work behind the scenes on that. But Sam, what did you think about the overall production?
I don't really have an opinion on it. I kind of felt it was quite natural to the story, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like nothing exploded at me. Mm-hmm. Nothing made me go, wow, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. One thing I did quite enjoy was the Zoom, the Zoom FaceTime kind of
the live cameras. And let me tell you that is I don't know if I've I've rarely seen it. I can't remember the last time I've seen it, if I have seen it, but that is a very tricky technical thing to pull off.
Right.
So not spoiling too much, but there is a live camera that sends a camera feed and projections everywhere. And I can't tell you the amount of technical things, and even in tech, looking at the amount of computers and staff working on that, it's an absolute feat. And for Pangdemonium to pull that off, and we only have, I think they were in the theater from Saturday and we opened on Friday. So to get all of that tech up and all the cast on stage, all of these moving parts, it really takes a village. And I think we should be so proud of Singapore and the Singapore art scene for being able to put up such a show like this. Because the from UCN, the set designer, to James, the lighting designer, Jing, the sound designer, Joanne and all the band, and Leonard with the costumes, all of these creative aspects come together.
Oh, yes, I completely agree.
And the creatives that we have in this country are just absolutely insane. And of course, you know, Tracy and Tim with the direction, you know, having the vision to put all that together, and then topped off with Andy's, isn't Andy's amazing choreography. We're not going to spoil it, but Sincerely Me, ladies and gentlemen, is my favorite number in the whole show, and it definitely was Sam's. He had a beaming smile.
I did, because for me it was the most energetic part of the show. It was a moment, a pure moment of joviality. So yes, it was, and well choreographed as well.
And I just want to also, just to finish us off, I think that we also have to give our hats off to the cast. And one thing that I am very proud of for this particular show with the cast is that there are a lot of new faces. And we have the conversation in Singapore all the time that you see the same faces all the time.
Yes.
And for Pangdemonium to cast people that you rarely see on that stage, I would say the only one that we've seen many times in Singapore musicals would be Ethel, who is incredible. But like even Rebecca is coming through only since kind of I Love You, A Perfect Now Change, and Secondary, the musical. And then the Pang Boys. Now, the tea with the Pang Boys, of course, you know, before the show started, being in the theatre circles, I definitely heard a few people go, well, of course Pangdemonium are going to cast the Pang Boys in the roles. I honestly, because I had no part of the audition process, even though I was a part of the staging, I also maybe kind of thought a little bit the same, but those boys absolutely deserved their roles. They absolutely nailed it. And you know, I don't know who I would have cast other than them in Singapore. So like to Zach and Xander, they absolutely killed it.
I have to agree with that. And Connor and Jared are two very different characters.
Yeah.
And I think they played them beautifully. Jared in particular, I've thoroughly enjoyed Zach's performance. The energy between them was also quite fun.
Yes.
Now, that's something that's obviously been nurtured and grown for, I don't actually know their ages, but for how, they're in their 20s, aren't they, I think. And that must have put a lot of pressure on poor Angelo.
They knew Angelo from school, so they were all associated together. So there's a connection with Angelo there as well, yeah.
Right.
And of course, just a big shout out to everyone and Angelo for taking on such a mammoth role. And it is Angelo's first musical. It's his first musical, which is truly a feat. And many of the Evans around the world, that's a very common thing. But I think there's the rawness of having that as your first show and putting that up on stage, is there's a magic to that. You see that that youth and that vigor, I think, come through in the character.
I agree with you. The acting was marvelous. It kind of put me in mind of Jeff Goldblum's kind of acting. Jeff Goldblum kind of thrives off of his ums and his ahs and his hesitancies and things like that. I think Angelo did exactly the same. The hesitancies, the it made it natural. And as you're talking about reality on the stage in that case, absolutely brought it. Evan Hansen as a part is up there with your Javerts and your Jean Valjeans and
I think it's even crazier than that. It really, because he hardly leaves the stage.
Yes.
It really is an insane role, and I think Angelo should absolutely have a hats off for a stellar effort going into this show.
I can imagine he must have felt a lot of pressure for that.
Oh, of course. I think anyone would.
The whole cast, I imagine so. The cast and the production, given what you just said about the opportunity that Pandemonium have been given, I can imagine that the pressure has been on. My sincere hope is that, as can happen with any production, the more you do it, the more energy it gets, the better and better it gets along the way. So that's my sincere hope.
And just to finish us off on, I think that's a really good point. Behind the scenes, you know, overseas when this show premiered, the production would have had, the amount of time that these guys have to do the entire show would have been the previews. And, you know, to try out and for everyone to settle in their roles before reviews, before people come to see. In Singapore, it's a sad fact that we can only open for 5 weeks and we have to do gala night on the first weekend and all the reviews come out on the first weekend when things are, you know, sometimes in some shows things have not settled. So that's just a fact of Singapore theatre that we just don't, we can't possibly run for that amount of time like we can, you know, when you do things in the West End or Broadway.
Right. Now, my tea's gone cold, love, so I'm gasping for another cup. Shall we go?
I think we should. Just a reminder that this show, Dear Evan Hansen, plays until Sunday, the 10th of November. They've extended, and tickets are on Systic. So let's go and pop the kettle on for another episode coming your way very soon.
Fabulous. So after that, I can only say cheerio. We'll be back soon.
And ta-ra from me.
And to the cast and crew of Pandemonium's production of Dear Evan Hansen.
And to all of those in Singapore Theatre performing in Singapore Theatre soon.
Break a leg.